Well, it's not surprising to us at the Haitian Lawyers Leadership. You know, we've had big problems with Kankanen and the folks that went to the UN asking for the UN to find itself guilty. At the very beginning, in October 2010, Glenn, when the cholera epidemic came to Haiti, as of that time, 8,000 Haitians, over 8,000, and we can't really know all the numbers because lots of people are dying outside of being able to be counted, and 620,000 have been infected, and 200 are getting infected every day. And this is the most virulent form of the bacteria that has never been found in the Western Hemisphere until the Nepalese soldiers brought it in October 2010, and Haiti has never had cholera. Now, 15 months after the Kankanen group brought in their letter of demand to the UN, the UN just said that they're claiming immunity. But I'm not surprised because Ira Kurzban was one of the first attorneys, and he represented President Aristide, who said to us when we said we have to sue, we will look into this. Because I said that the best way to do this, because the UN owns the court at The Hague, and so why are we going there? And besides, the jurisdiction is states and states. And getting advisory from the UN is like having the UN investigate itself. It appoints the judges over there. So there's just nothing to do but to do something different, something that will set a different precedent. And at the Haitian Lawyers Leadership, we said this was a personal injury caused outside of operational necessities of the SOFA agreement, which is the status of force agreement that brings the UN formally to Haiti in 2004. So we said this would be a personal injury, a wrong for death, that the UN did not have the mechanism in their SOFA agreement to address that because they have a single claims provision. So we had asked for help because we don't have the staff at the Haitian Lawyers Leadership. It's almost a solo work with all the work that I do, and I needed a law firm that had money and the staff and that would use our narrative. Obviously, he ended up going with Kankanen. He's on his board, and they sit on that board with Paul Farmer, who is the UN deputy envoy to Haiti at the time, and who himself was the UN face, apologizing and saying that Haiti's weak system is the cause of this. So we saw lots of problems with the demand of the Kankanen, Marie-Joseph, Ira Kurzban group at the UN, and we are not surprised at the Haitian Lawyers Leadership as to what's going on. I can say that our narrative is different as Haitians. What we say is that we have to look at the United States, number one. This is a U.S. occupation that is using a mask of U.N. guns. So for us, the U.N. is in Haiti in order to service U.S. needs. That's a period. So if, as a lawyer, you're looking at this scenario and you have this, and you forget about all of the politics and foreign relations and so forth that's going on with imperialism, you look straight at it and you say, as respondent superior, we name the U.S. because they call the shots. We name the U.N. because their soldiers brought it in. And we say from the beginning in 2004 that the SOFA agreement, the operating agreement that brings the U.N. to Haiti, is illegal. So anything that happens is the fruit of a rotten tree. It's illegal because it was not signed by a duly elected Haitian government or duly elected Haitian prime minister, but an imposed prime minister that came into Haiti and signed the SOFA agreement, Gérald Laporture, who is a 40-year UN employee, signed the agreement by which the UN is claiming immunity for the cholera cases. That's number one. Number two, even within that SOFA agreement, that status of force agreement, and we say that the UN, even under the privileges and immunities of the United Nations, they cannot claim absolute immunity. Immunity was only given in order for the UN to carry out its businesses and not be plagued with suits that are frivolous. Absolute immunity does not mean impunity. And we say that the UN itself waived its immunity in various ways, and I'll give you two ways. They signed the SOFA agreement. So if we just arguably say that the SOFA agreement was a legal document, within that agreement, there are articles that exempt from absolute immunity personal harm that a troop member from the UN or an employee did. So we say that they implied or expressly waived the UN immunity under the SOFA Article 5, Paragraph 23. And if that's not found to be operative, we say under Article 7, Paragraph 54, which provides a mechanism for third-party personal injury resolution so long as the injury does not arise from operational necessity. Under that article, it's not an operational necessity for the UN to dump its raw sewage into Haiti's river and thereby killing 8,000 people. That is a wrong for death. If we agree that inadvertently they did it, it was an accident, then there is a provision under the SOFA agreement, where the UN itself claims that it would put together a claims commission to look at that personal injury. We say that very provision is a waiver of UN absolute immunity. Now, the fact that they never set up the claims commission also makes the UN in violation of the SOFA agreement, but definitely it's a waiver of absolute immunity just by having that there. And Article 5, Paragraph 3, I believe, is the one that said that the UN is to maintain their system in accordance with the health regulations that they themselves have put out for the world to sign. So most of the UN member countries have signed this WHO convention with regards to how they get rid of their sewage. And the UN, under the SOFA agreement, is obligated to do that in the same way. So we say that they did not follow their own convention of health. And so that's also a waiver of their absolute immunity, because they said that they will be subject to that. Now, to find otherwise, to find that the UN is absolutely immune, would turn the operation of international and national law on its head. And under the circumstances, absolute UN immunity, we say, under the circumstances, absolute UN immunity would render meaningless the very purpose of the UN's existence. Immunity is not impunity, and if so, that would be inconsistent with the instrument creating the UN and the member states' intentions to promote equality before the law.
And especially since you say that the United Nations is acting as an employee of the United States, and the United States should be the one to be sued, well, the United States policy remains to subjugate Haiti, so why would the employee, the United Nations, do anything different?
Exactly. Now, I'm so disappointed with my own profession, because I tell you, for the last 2 years, I've gone to every major law firm, I've gone to everyone. Most of our country has moved so to the right. It's not the time of Thurgood Marshall, where they looked at precedents and challenged them in court and their illegality in court in terms of people's human rights. So what this is saying is that the U.S. policy abroad and the U.N. acting as its agent, the U.N. is what, a super state that is not subject to the very laws that it's promulgating for other countries to sign to, like the health laws of, I think it's still health laws of 2005, which prohibits what they just did, which prohibits states from doing this, from bringing in communicable diseases and spreading deadly viruses. Now, the UN, who is supposed to be the arbiter of this under the WHO, the World Health Organization, is the one doing it, and it's saying it's absolutely immune. So that's where we are in the world, I thought. That as a lawyer, I would find a courageous lawyer with the deep pocket and the firm to do what Thurgood Marshall did, because Thurgood Marshall and those of the days gone by had not tested, I mean, from way back to Dred Scott, the precedents, the customs that said that we were three-fifths of human beings and we were not allowed human rights, then I wouldn't be sitting here. So I have been begging lawyers all over the world to come and stand with the Haitian lawyers' leadership and let us try to set a precedent. Let us break the precedent for the world, because the UN is out here doing the bidding of the World War II powers. And since Lumumba, folks like me and others have understood what the UN stands for, because the US can strong arm the little states and buy their vote any moment of the day. So we know where we are. But the firemen, the white progressive firemen to the UN arsonists, they play good cop, bad cop, and this 15 months, that's happened since the time that the Konkanen, Kurzban, and other folks brought in this case, this meaningless asking the UN to investigate itself or to find itself guilty, which I have said from the beginning is like asking the rapist, tell us if you actually raped this woman. It just makes no sense that the UN could be investigator, judge, and jury of itself and find something other than what it just found yesterday.
And in fact, what the United States does is to use the UN as a kind of super state in order to do that which the United States cannot do itself. For example, Haiti has been reduced to what we've described as a kind of protectorate of the UN with no national rights.
Exactly. And just recently in the news, you have announcements that the U.S. is building prisons in Haiti. I mean, that's very familiar to us black folks. I mean, that's what they do. They warehouse our people. And so the earthquake happens, 320,000 and more Haitians die in 33 seconds. The U.S. puts Clinton in the U.N., the first time in U.N. history that the World Bank is their banker, and that's only for Haiti. So you know what's going on. And they collect, I think, $7.5 billion, according to the New York Times. And yet the New York Times says that there's no footprint has been left. They've used the reputation of progressiveness, just like they're using the black skin of Obama to go into Africa and recolonize it. They used Paul Farmer to make as if this occupation was something moral, doing something good for Haiti, because of the reputation with regards to the good doctor. But that good doctor has sold out, and he is the head of the 40 or so thousand NGOs, non-for-profits, who are lapping up that $7.5 billion, while my folks are dying of all sorts of crises and diseases and so forth. Haiti's worse off a million times than in 2004 than before the internationals came in and took it over. So as you say, it is a protectorate. And we've become a penal colony. But the white folks in Haiti, the big NGOs, they've got maids and butlers and children they can go ahead and sexually molest. It's like a little Dixieland over there. We're back into the plantation.